people, purpose, patience. It's a beautiful night. All I hear is, you know, hear the animals or the cars. Streets barely lit. It's a beautiful night though. Just worked a full day, 7 to 7:30. Go home and possibly get a little bit of time with the family before I gotta go to sleep and do it all over again tomorrow. I'm comfortable. When I thought I was uncomfortable, I let the last maybe month or so of my life really spiral out of control, and I guess I caught it before it really got bad for me, because if I didn't stop myself and just stop everything, I would have lost it, you know? I really would have. You know, like I said in these past couple of episodes, the ability to just step back and just reassess everything and put in order what's most important for yourself. Take things out that don't really need to be there. It's all about discipline. And I'm not there yet with every aspect of my life, but I had to take control of my mental, because I didn't know where it was going, to be quite honest with you all. I'm happy to be in the position that I'm in, just with life, you know. I feel my momentum in every way. My momentum at work, momentum at home, as a husband, as a father. My momentum with myself and every endeavor that I plan to get into and am into already. You know, the podcast and everything, I feel things growing, you know? You know, as I began the previous episode with, I hope you're in the middle. I mean, I hope you're in the beginning, middle, or end of where you need to be. Me, myself, I kind of feel like I'm a little bit past the beginning stages, you know? Because after that do-over I had to do, I seem to find everything that I really, really do, I enjoy. I enjoy my job, I really do. I really do enjoy my job. I feel I'm good at it, and I get appreciated by those, you know, that come in, you know, that come to my department, and I'm appreciated by my peers. So, I enjoy it. I've been doing it long enough, so shit. And everything else that I'm a part of, I honestly feel I'm getting better at. I feel my direction and my devotion to the podcast is really growing. Audience is growing. You know, that's what I want. But too many people are telling me just now becoming who I am, like with the podcast, with my voice, with all of this. I'm just taking it in stride, you know. I'm not really allowing myself to get too big, get too big-headed, and get too full of myself, you know. I wanted to touch on a few things with this episode. It won't be as quick as the last few, because probably got about a, dare I say, another mile and a half, almost 2 miles home. So with that, I was leaving work a few days ago, and I was passing these group of guys by this food truck, and they were talking about rap, you know, and usual conversations about rap, who's your top five, or have you heard such and such, this and that, or whatever. This particular talk was about Jadakiss and his place in hip-hop, his place in rap. This was before the verses, so if you, side note, if you haven't seen the verses between the Dipset and the Locks, you need to check it out. If you're a fan of music and if you're a fan of hip-hop and the culture, just check it out. Fucking wonderful. I loved every second of it, because that's my era of music, and I've been listening to the Locks since 97, since I first heard them on Biggie's album. And those that know me know I still listen to the same artists, though, you know, so hasn't really changed. But and when I seen Jadakiss, he just, he controlled the arena, he controlled the stage, even though Styles and Sheik, the other members of the Locks, hold their own lyrically. It's just something about Jadakiss' presence when he gets on the mic, and that distinct voice, that raspy voice, and that flow that can just go with any track he's on. And just his presence, like I said, he obliterated Dipset. I never looked at any of them as rappers anyway. They had a style, true enough, but I never looked at them as rappers. And if you've seen the verses, you've seen that they really couldn't perform. And, you know, like I said, Jadakiss really solidified his place with other people. I already had him in my top five anyway. But as I passed those guys, and everybody was getting ready for the verses, one of them asked me, he said, "Hey, who's your top five?" And I love that. I love that question in rap. Who's your top five? Because my top five has never really changed. It's Nas, and this is no particular order. It's Nas, it's Big, it's Pac, it's Rakim, and it's LL. You know, that's my top five right there. You know, I can't really go wrong when I listen to either one of them. And I got favorites too, but it doesn't waver, it never changes. It's always the same artist. But anyway, as we were talking and stuff like this, you know, ended the conversation, it was cool, the conversation. He had a couple of newer age artists in his top five, which I respect all levels of music. And it was something that he said that hit me. He said, "All right, OG, you know, I respect that. I respect the era you come from." And I'm looking at him and I'm like, damn, I am an OG. So I said all of that. Talk about rap and all that talk about the verses and all that, and, you know, my era of music. I say all of that to say I am an OG. Shit. And then he said something else to hit me. He said, "Yeah, man, I respect you, dog. You know, hope to see you again. Maybe we can have a longer conversation about music or whatnot. See how you feel about life. Just see how you feel about life in general." Because he said, "I respect you because you got something behind you and you got something in front of you." And shit, that hit me. And then later, yesterday, as a matter of fact, Nas released his new album, King's Disease 2. I've devoured that album already, front to back, maybe about 5 times already since it came out. One song sticks out to me. It's called 40 Side. And he says, OG talk all the way through the song. And I just kept hearing the OG talk. And I'm like, I know Nas is not speaking directly to me, but this whole week has just been surrounded with me speaking to the younger generation and me speaking to friends of mine and just them getting something from me. You know? Them getting something from me. Like me being that figure that I looked upon when I was younger. When I was 16, 17, hell, 22 even. I love to have a talk with my 22-year-old self right now. I love to have a talk with my 22-year-old self. Matter of fact, if I could just go back to my 24-year-old self and my 16-year-old self, I'd love to have a talk with them. Just give me 5 minutes. What would I say? I would honestly tell my 24 and 16-year-old self quite possibly the same thing that you would tell yourself at those ages. Speak less. And I say speak less because I've spent a lot of my life action first. Done a lot of dumb shit. I've talked about a lot of it on this podcast. Done a lot of stupid shit. A lot of shit I'm not proud of. How you doing? Done a lot of things I'm not proud of. But I'm here now. And those things I'm not proud of are so far behind me that I don't even remember the person that did it. It's like that person is a stranger to me. You know, my 16-year-old self, when I was lost and full of anger and I was still full of hurt from everything that had happened to me up until that point. And I wish I had a person like me around to just, hey, slow it down a little bit. Just take inventory of everything around you and keep what you need. Throw away what you don't. I mean, I'm so glad by the grace of God, I was pulled out of a lot of situations. You know, a lot of things my wife can tell you about because she's been with me since I was 16. A lot of things she could tell you about that I escaped because I can't tell you. Honestly, can't tell you how I made it through the things that I made it through. But like I said, I just give all praise. Just give all praise to God because I've never had the answers. I've never tried to be the toughest. I've never ran with a clique of people or whatever, what have you. I had friends, true enough, but most of the time I was always by myself. But as I stated, by the grace of God, I'm here and able to teach now. Like I said, I've never thought of myself as an OG in that sense, but now I see. Now I see a lot of eyes, now ears on me now. And I need to really live my lessons, so to speak. what I was taught, what I went through. I need to make sure that I try my hardest to make sure that everyone who's watching and listening doesn't make those same mistakes. How you doing? And, you know, I feel a responsibility. And I only feel that responsibility for my children and my little brother and my little sister. But I also feel responsible for the ones that I come across that are a little lost. Need an answer or just need a little guidance, you know. Like I said, I don't have the answers, but what I have is guidance, what I have is experience, and I know I've done more good than harm when it comes to that. You know, I see it when I post on social media and, you know, through the DMs and messages I get from people and the way that people respond to the podcast, I honestly feel that I feel the importance of everything that I'm going through. I honestly feel the importance of my momentum. I feel the importance of my being. And I'm not being, you know, cocky at all or anything like that, but we should all feel an importance in every aspect of our life because it will make us appreciate it that much better if we felt the importance of who we are and what we bring. Like I said, I feel my importance for life right now. When I didn't feel my importance for life when I was 16, I didn't. I didn't understand the responsibility of being a big brother, and I didn't really understand the responsibility of what I needed to do to help out my household. You know, with my mother and my little brother, I took care of them because he was an asthmatic and, you know, he needed the proper care. I took care of him, but I didn't really see it as important as I do now, and I'm so glad that I didn't have those. Hey, yes, sir.
You wouldn't know what time the bus stop right now.
The bus, I don't believe the bus stops right here, sir. It stops across the street.
Yeah, but what time do you stop?
Which way are you going?
I'm going to Hampton.
You going to Hampton? Yeah, you need to stand over there because we'll probably be here in about a good 10 minutes.
Okay,
yes, sir.
I said you're waiting on it. I'm sitting here, man.
Yeah, if you stand there because it's going to stop and it's going to turn the corner.
Okay, so we turn the corner, I'm going to run on over there.
Yeah, be careful running across the street, though.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Have a blessed one. As I was saying, I didn't feel the importance of it until years later. You know, I was too stuck in trying to be that rebellious teenager who just didn't give a fuck about nothing and wanted to play off this tough role. And I never had to be tough around my little brother. I just had to be me. I never had to be anything but just his big brother. You know, and that I appreciate, and it molded me into the father I never knew that I could be. Never knew I could do and be the way that I am for my boys and girls. How you doing, Joe? I never knew I could be that way for them. And I owe it all to my little brother, my little sister, Jessica, who I don't speak about as much as I should, but, you know, I haven't seen Jessica in over 30 years. But I still remember every I still remember every little blemish, dimple, color of her hair, color of her eyes. I still remember all of that. And I believe the last time I saw her, I was 6. How you doing? I believe the last time I saw Jessica, I was 6 years old. Right before, you know, her father took her away from us. And, you know, I haven't seen her since, but I think about her every day. And I had the responsibility then that I wasn't gonna let anything happen to my little sister. I didn't know how serious cerebral palsy was until, once again, much later in life. But I knew, all I knew for my little sister was that I made her laugh and that I protected her, that I had to protect her. I had to, you know, I had to protect my little sister. And I didn't know about the defects, that I didn't know how her life would become. I didn't even know why she was being taken away. You know, and I used to cry myself to sleep because I just didn't know what was going on. I mean, I had a best friend and my little sister. I would do anything for her. My mom didn't have to change a diaper or anything because I wanted to do it. Make a bottle, I wanted to do it. You know, get her when she woke up crying or whatever, I wanted to do it. Because I felt that responsibility, I felt that duty. And I once again felt that duty 4 years later when my little brother was born, but it didn't hit me how important it was. How important it was to be in that moment, to be that person for him. And then in turn, to be that person for my children. And once again, be that person for my wife and just about everyone else I come across. I understand the lesson now. You know, I understand how important experience is, and I understand how important character and dignity, honor, integrity. I understand the importance of those. I understand when it's lost these days. It's lost on so many, but I understand the importance of it. I get it. And that's, you know, and that's how I choose to live my life. Everybody I come across, everybody that knows me personally knows that. You know, I give 100% of myself to everybody. Even more now because I realize how important it is. I mean, you all should see me at work when it's 20 to 30 people standing around and I'm by myself and they want what they want, things cooked and this and that. I mean, luckily they pay me pretty damn well to do what I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it because it's hectic as hell. But anyway, I feel the importance of being me then because so many other people, they get mad or they can't handle it. Me, I'm okay. I laugh, I joke with the customers. I make sure that they're taken care of. I don't let the moment overwhelm me. Like, I gotta go, I gotta rush. I don't rush, I still take my time. I make sure things are done properly and they leave with an experience. They leave wanting to come back. I can't wait to come back. You do a great job. I really try, you know, I try for people. And like I said, that's just what I hope to set out to do in life with everything that I do, with this podcast, with just being a son, a brother, a husband, a father, a friend. As long as I give 100% of myself, and as long as I still have the important things in line and I still have goals and things that I want to reach for myself, I'm fulfilled in life. know, this last week, I've told myself I wanted to do something and do more with my children since they don't get to see me as much. This past week, I've been to 2 baseball games, one with my youngest son and the other with my 2 oldest. I'm not saying we're the biggest baseball fans in the world, because we're not. It's just the ability to do something with them. And I'm using the fact that I'm at work 10 to 14 to 15 hours a day as that. I'm cherishing more of experience and time with other people. Like, I'm on the way home now, gonna try to, you know, try to game a little bit with my little brother, since we don't get to see each other as much. And just to have the moments with them is important. And it honestly feels like during some of those moments, time just stops, you know, because I'm doing things that are more important. No more bullshit. So every person that I have contact with, every friend that I see that comes into the store, you know, I cherish that. And those moments, whether it be quick or a minute or 10 or whatever, hopefully they know I mean it. They know I'm sincere. And that's just where I want to be in life, y'all. I could tell you many more stories, but it's just having the experience is where I am right now. I'm so grateful for that. Just to have the experience. I mean, I could die right now and I'd be fulfilled. I'd be happy, you know? Because I know what I'm doing now. I mean, I don't want to go nowhere, but you know what I'm saying. You know, hopefully people can still grow with what I give. And like I said, I ain't being cocky at all. It's just, I'm settled in on who I am and I know who I am. It took a while for me to find out who I was. It took a lot of bullshit. It took a lot of just wrong things to happen. And like I said, by the grace of God, I'm still here. So it was all a lesson. On the bigger and better. Look at myself, I'm almost 40 years old. Still with the enthusiasm and vigor of a fucking 12-year-old. You know, you should see me at work laughing, I'm joking, happy. You should see me at home laughing, joking, happy. You know, when I post things on Instagram, I post to motivate. I post to let you know that you don't have to be defined by anything. You can be happy wherever, however, whoever you are. Like I said, I'm almost 40 years old. I'm in the best shape of my life, and I'm getting better. Getting better. I'm almost 30 pounds down from I didn't realize how depressed and just unhappy that I was when I was 245 pounds, maybe 2 to 3 months ago. I was unhappy. And now I'm back to, and it's, and weight has nothing to do with it. It's all a mindset. But I'm back to, I want to say 218. And you know, double that with going to the chiropractor frequently now. I'm feeling a lot better. And, you know, I'm just so full of life now. And I was always afraid of this moment that when I became focused, that was the end. I used to have that premonition. When I became focused and I was happy and everything around me was going well, that was the end. I used to be so scared of happiness. And I never wanted it. I always wanted something to fuck up. I was more comfortable being uncomfortable, you know? How y'all doing? I was more comfortable being uncomfortable. Now I'm still uncomfortable in certain settings, but I don't shy from it, you know? I don't shy from it. I welcome it. I welcome everything now. Just be happy with the experience. Patience is the podcast.